Stanley Kubrick, Meryl Streep, Joan 90, Doctor Who, Batman Begins, Superman, The Three Martinis, The Three Deuces, and Dick's Banner. Who needs anything more to welcome the legendary Shane and Sheila Rimmer to the Midweek Drive?
Hurrah! Triple hurrah in every sense of the word.
Holy moly!
I know! Yes. Ah, and they said...
You should have been at the airport and greeted us into back into London.
Well, anyway. You know, clearly, if it was one of those scenarios where I come wearing a wonderful, I suppose, mast board saying the Rimmers, it would be...
Yes, we were looking for you. It would have been a lovely way to... enter things again. Anyway.
It'll happen, Shane. It'll happen. When last we spoke, you were off to Los Angeles. And since then, of course, you've been to Budapest. But let's deal with Los Angeles first, because how did the whole experience go of being welcomed to a Comic-Con over in Los Angeles?
They were very generous. They booked us into a lovely hotel right in the center of L.A.
Right by the airport.
Right, you know, quite close to the airport. Yeah, they fly dangerously close to buildings and everything else and people.
Shane, they're Americans. Anyway, they're Americans. They're not Canadians. It's what they
That's
do.
That's true. They don't think of these things, do they? Gee. Anyway, it was lovely. They had a huge attendance. We were there for how many days, Sheila? Two.
Well, the convention was 2 days, but we were there for about 4 or 5 days, I think. And on the last day, we had no work to do, and we took the VIP little bus around Los Angeles, and we went to Venice Beach and Venice Little City and all round. It was really
Roman's Chinese Theater.
Yeah, we went there.
With all the movie stars.
And I hope, Shane...
Imprints in the sidewalk.
I do hope, Shane, it's not going to be too long before your own star is actually imprinted on that sidewalk.
I think you're going to have to wait awfully long time.
No, I think the campaigns... We have ace photographer Nick Elliott in the studio with us. Nick, when first you realised that Shane Rimmer was the voice of Scott Tracy, you were beside yourself with joy for, I think, at least 2 months.
Oh, God, yeah. This guy's the dude. I'm talking to one of my heroes here, the voice of Scott Tracy. you're the dude, man.
Hi.
I can say no more other than echo those words, you are the dude. It's amazing. I can always see that as another
story. But it was amazingly... popular.
It was pop and popular. it was so popular you had to say it four times.
Well. Exactly. It just took my breath away. Yes.
It was extraordinary.
They were made, the huge, huge hotel and the whole...
They're talking about Scott Tracy.
Don't worry, Sheila. It's okay. You know, the whole thing is working splendidly. That's what we like.
He's got bronchitis at the moment, so you'll
Lord.
Have to forgive him.
Absolutely. Well, Mary, you're currently holding in your hands the official autobiography From Thunderbirds to Pterodactyls. Yes, Sheila, I will continue to promote it like a mad insane. It is the book. Go.
Well, that's no change, is it?
Yeah, it is brilliant. I was having a look, and I remember watching The Thunderbirds as a kid. So when I again found out that you were Scott Tracy, I was also beside myself. So, but you've had such a rich career. So I was wondering, like, have you got any particular favourites or, like, highlights of it?
No, well, I was coughing up a bit there.
Highlights of your career?
Nice, Sheila. Well done.
In the
prompt, exactly.
I can always... It's like a bullet right between the eyes, you know. Anyway, do I have any favorites of what? Of
all your roles, I suppose,
your
isn't
career.
It?
Yeah. Our career. Yes. I think being chosen for a pretty good part in the James Bond.
The Spy Who Loved Me.
The last one, yeah, The Spy Who Loved Me. That was rather nice. You're in very good company. Very nice. They're a marvelous company to work for. Broccoli, daughter in charge now after Cubby is.
They're doing gone. Michael Wilson and Barbara Broccoli doing wonderful stuff. Shane, just briefly, a quick question that's always slightly not concerned me, but when we go to Captain Scarlet, and I know you wrote a couple of Captain Scarlet episodes, but were you ever in the position of having to do some uncredited voice work for that?
Oh, I think so.
Yes,
Jerry Anderson had a great knack of just coming in at the last moment and said, oh, here are a couple of lines for you.
Yeah.
And, well, that's all they were, really, you know, two or three lines.
It's just one of those areas where over the years I've said, yeah. I'm sure that is Shane Rimmer. Those are his vocal tenacities there, delivered in his delightful way. And I look at the credit, I see Ed Bishop, marvellous. I see, obviously, Paul Metcalf, because that is, of course, Captain Scarlet's real alter ego. Who is the chap who actually was Captain Scarlet? We'll find it out before the end of the programme, you know, because clearly he's no Scott Tracy, but, you know, he actually was quite a famous actor in so many ways.
Dear.
But anyway, Ed Bishop we know because he's done a show with us, so there we are.
Yeah.
He moved on. Vladek Shabal, who didn't do any voice work, but was contacted earlier by Vladek and was doing various other things there. But it was, thank you for putting me to rights on that particular one. And how was Budapest?
It was lovely. Beautiful. It's a lovely city.
Because
really marvellous old buildings there, you know.
It's a wonderful time. It cast us back, Sheila, to a 1987 programme I did with Shane in the studios in Dulwich, London, and he informed us, and the listener, of course, at the time, because we still had a listener then, I believe,
yeah.
We still have one now, in terms of the whole system, that actually, the thing about Budapest is you got Buda and Pest. It's
exactly.
Like two different sides.
Yeah, well, Pest is the flat side,
yeah.
And Buda is... where all the beautiful mountains are.
There you are. Yeah. And that was it. It's okay. It'll be cleared up shortly because obviously I'll darn those Budapest citizens if they've actually given Shane Rimmer some sort of pneumonic infection there. We'll nuke them. No, we won't. Perhaps that's too drastic. Sorry, I was having a bit of a Donald Trump moment there. And I don't want to go there. Your son, of course, was there. Can you share with us the movie that he was working on?
When he was there in 87?
Yeah. Actually, what? When you were there this year, what was the movie that your son was working on?
Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon.
It's okay.
He's doing for Universal Pictures. Mm-hmm. He's the line producer for a 12-part television series called Emerald City.
Nice.
Which is a make of
a remake
of The Wizard of Oz, completely rewritten with different scripts. One fantastic set and a wizard, etc. It's really wonderful.
But you see, I've always seen you, Sheila, in so many ways as being our good witch, Glinda. You know,
definitely.
Is,
I see that.
Glinda thing. Yes, I wanted to say that. Yeah, from your agency days, from the three martinis, I thought, yes, work through that whole process, which is essential. And presumably it also cuts down on travel because doing Emerald City means that all your son actually has to do is to wear those shoes, click his heels together three times and say there's no place like home and he's back in Potter's Bar. Like that, really.
No, he's not back in Potter's Bar, but he lives out there at the moment. He's been on this for a year.
This is
so
Ben.
He's got a flat out there.
Is this Ben, I take it?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's all right. Which is, it's very important with the Rimmer household. It's a bit like the Richardsons, you know, and indeed the Redgraves. You have to kind of keep the dynasty going and sort it through.
Indeed.
Right, moving on. Jodie.
Yeah, well, I just wondered, whereabouts was the Thunderbirds made? Was that made in Los Angeles?
Oh.
Sorry.
It had that sort of...
the glamour.
Veneer to it.
The glamour of a Mars bar factory.
You know where it was made? Slough Trading Estate.
Yeah. Really?
Slough Trading Estate in a one-story building. That's how the whole thing started.
Exactly. And that is critical to the whole system. You see, it proves you don't need to have glamour in your surroundings. Just go to a confectioner's bar's trading estate and all will work out well for the world.
Yes, and a very humble spirit.
Exactly. It's very good.
You know, they've just made three new Thunderbird episodes.
Indeed.
Jamie Anderson and Steve LaRiviere. Yeah. Have you heard about it?
We have, and we're keenly awaiting the final
keenly
release.
Awaiting.
Here we are, keenly
and
awaiting.
And he sent us a little message the other day saying, it's so great to hear Shane Rimmer back as Scott Tracy, rather than...
That other bloke in the animated series. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's Paul Matthews was the voice of Captain Scarlet, I believe. So
was it?
Yeah,
Paul Matthews,
I think he was the voice of Captain Scarlet. We'll find out.
Ed Bishop.
He was Captain Blue. Sorry, we're going into all sorts of areas.
Francis Matthews.
There we are. I knew we'd get
that lovely Cary Grant takeoff he had.
Because that's exactly what he was to play it like Cary Grant. Marriott Express. Right. You know who Cary Grant is, too? No, bless. See, sometimes these club.
I do, yeah.
You do, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Judy, and other sort of expostulations he'd actually.
You sound just like him. That's amazing.
Shay, I always like to work on these links with your good son. Yeah. It's important. Actually, in a couple of weeks' time, did you ever meet Brian Johnson?
Yes.
Because Brian is joining us on the show in 2 weeks' time, an Academy Award winner, of course, who went on to do a whole range of things, but also worked with the late, great Derek Meddings. And Brian's Brian actually missed you at Scarborough, but I said, look, the Rimmers would want you to join the Midweek Drive. I use that as an opening line. And so he is coming along to join us in a couple of weeks' time.
Good. You'll never forgive us for that.
I feel it's important. It spreads the word. And the other line one has to say is, how did the little movie shoot you did with our very own director, Darren Scales, do? Because I gather Darren was very impressed with that.
We're still waiting for it. Once every 6 months, we get a little note from him with a little snatch of a photo or something, and... Right. And that's it. It's still ongoing, I understand.
I'll do my best to chase that one up for you, Sheila, because, you know, I know...
do your best, will you, please?
I know he has a low budget.
We are getting a little impatient. Exactly.
I think he has to work with peanuts, you see, so it probably takes much longer
than...
That's
very true. It's true. I mean, his first motion picture, today's only major motion picture, made for a budget of £5,000, which is ridiculous. I mean, that's Sheila's makeup budget for, like, half a day, you know? It's just... Only kidding, Sheila. You know, it's all
anyway, the little clip he sent us looks quite interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
We all like that. I mentioned Scarborough, of course, you were missed there, and the team said their best. They sort of left a commemorative chair saying Shane might have been sitting here, but they went to LA instead. I know. It's a tough call. Los Angeles, California, Scarborough, North Yorkshire. What are two celebrities going to do?
We span the world.
Exactly. Claire.
And Aberdeen we went to.
How could I forget Granite City Comic Con?
Yeah.
Aberdeen, the Hilltop Treetops Hotel, or the Hilton Treetops Hotel even, in Aberdeen. That was the Saturday, Sunday, April 30th, May the 1st. And since then, of course, you've been to the Folkestone Academy in Kent. And on June the 4th, Saturday only, Brighton Centre Film and Comic Con.
God, you know more about our schedule than I do. I didn't know we were going to all these places.
Well, you know, ShaneRimmer.com, the go-to place to actually find out marvellous things from a perspective. Including, of course, on August the 20th and Saturday only, you're back in Scotland again for the Brayhead. Is it the Brayhead or the Brayhead? Or the Brayheed, presumably, if it's Glasgow. Brayheed Arena, Glasgow. Sorry, see you, Jimmy. And so on. So great stuff there. Mary, you've attended Comic Cons and so on.
Yeah, I'm going to one on the 28th, actually.
And where is that, pray tell?
It's going to be in London XL.
London XL. Yes.
MCM.
Nobody can confuse me more quickly than Alex.
Why is that, Shane?
I don't know why it is. I'm almost coming in halfway through what you're saying. It's terrible.
Well, there's always the show to be unpicked and listened again to, but it works splendidly. Back with yourself, Nick. Any other sort of thoughts you'd like to share with, as we already mentioned, the legend that is Shane Rimmer?
Oh, yeah, he is a legend. Well, no, not really. Only that I'm working my way through the back catalogue of all the Thunderbirds. And, man, they're still as good as they ever were. Fantastic.
Absolutely. What's your favourite one, Nick?
I don't have a favourite one, actually.
Well, you see, I have to say, I've always had a penchant for Attack of the Alligators.
Me too. Isn't that funny? if I was asked, I would have said the alligator one.
Well, it is interesting. That one and Sunprobe were the ones which seemed to have just
echoed. Yeah, Sunprobe was good. Yeah, but the first one.
Trapped in the Sky.
When I watched that, probably about 2 months ago.
Lift Port Wing! Firefly! Lift Port Wing!
Still captivating. Absolutely captivating TV. Wonderful
stuff.
And
Shane's delivery of mobile control. It's good. Veering off of all sorts of things. No, it was magical stuff from that perspective. Kat, ace publicist and so on. Any questions you'd like to put to the rest?
I do. Yes, I do. Now, Shane, in your autobiography, the last line is, "It ain't over till it's over." So my question to you would be...
It's going to be a leading one.
Yeah, my question is, what is there left in your career that you want to do and then you would consider it's over?
I don't want to have that under consideration.
No, I think that's good. I mean, you know, I've already got, you know, there's Academy Award, there's Grauman's Theatre star outside the Chinese Theatre, right. There's two to actually work there. We've got at least another 54 midweek drive aspects to work through the next sort of 4 or 5 years. So, you know, a
and
few
he's
more.
Still doing Cartoon Network comic Gumball.
Let's just share that once again, Sheila, because you know I could
tell. Yeah, say it a little more plainly this time.
he plays Louis, the mouse.
Uncle Louis,
and he's flirts with Grandma Jojo.
Yeah, there's a burning relationship, I tell you.
Take that, Mr. Shakespeare. That's what I say. You know, it's Louis, Uncle Louis, and Grandma Jojo. In which series, Sheila?
They'll hit the headlines one
Gumball.
Day.
Gumball.
It's a Ted Turner thing. Although it's all done over here, because he's Los Angeles-based, I think. And it goes on. Is it on now? I'm not sure.
Listen, Gumball.
I don't know where they got that.
The Amazing World of Gumball. I have taught students who actually look just like Gumball. No names. But I think Claire knew who I mean. It's just a line from that point of view. The Amazing World of Gumball, part of the Cartoon Network, amongst other things, and it just continues. I mean, I even see that there's a Gumball rally that's actually taking place in Edinburgh, 2016.
That's Silicon Valley.
Is that so? Strange. It's been fabulous as ever, but we are going back to Los Angeles to hopefully speak to Larry Nemechek, officially wonderful Dr. Trek, and so on. We've got Lily Holliman and Phil Leonis hopefully live from somewhere on their road trip, and we've got Quentin Wilson from the original and best, of course. Top Gear. Thank you, Kurt. You see, you to me are what Sheila is to Shane. My absolutely essential prompt to actually say, oi, sort it out. That's what it's all about.
Actually, Alex, it's the first time I've ever heard you stop midway through a sentence.
Genuinely.
Oh, you noticed, Sheila.
25th of May, 2016, historic one for the diaries, but there we are. I believe it needs to be done for the fans, Sheila. You know, you need to drop in a few things on that basis just to see as they build up the compilation, you know, they can actually go straight to that focus. It's very important. Or the fan, in the case of the Midway Drive. Mary, go for it. Last two questions for Shane and Sheila, please.
Yes, have you had a good telephonic link with us today?
A what?
A good telephonic link.
You talk faster than Alex.
She's from London, Shane. What can I say? It's a different sort of experience.
A telephonic link.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I know. It throws me too. And will you be joining us again as well?
Of course.
Brilliant.
A round of applause.
There's no escaping from Alex.
A round of applause for Shane and Sheila Ron, please.
Pleasure.
Thank Shane personally for those many special hours that you brought me as the voice of Scott Tracy. Thank you very much.
And of course,
a double pleasure. That's
three brand new episodes which will be released.
I know.
I feel actually it's one of my missions in life, Shane, to, you know, one fan at a time, gradually bring them to the opportunity of thanking you personally. It's a bit like tributes to the Greek gods of times past.
Long may you live, though.
There you go.
Met in strange surprise. I hid my love in thin disguise.
our captain will come for us. Mercy will be the last thing on his mind.
I am counting on it.
Fear of death is illogical. Fear of death is what keeps us alive.
Everyone who goes there, he kills.
That's our friends out there. We can't just leave them behind.
Unity is not your strength. It is a weakness.
I think you're underestimating humanity.
Hold on to something! Fire at will! Do it! Do it!
Pardon me.
It would have been an absolutely perfect trailer if they could have ended it with...
Hey, this is Larry Nemechek, Dr. Trek, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive.
But we can do it for them, can't we, Larry?
I like the way you think, Al.
Very critical. Now, we're looking at this fabulous Star Trek Beyond thing. You were there, as you said, last week. Of course, you were going to be part of this unique special team who were brought to actually see the official launch of the new trailer for Star Trek Beyond. So, director Justin Lin, of course, who is a contemporary of Phil Dearness, producer J.J. Abrams, co-stars Zachary Quinto, Chris Pine and Carl Urban. I love the, I think he likes that seat, little line. Is it floaty? I mean, I'm beginning just gradually to think, actually, it could be a pretty good July movie. What was the sense of your good self from, of course, Stage 32 in Los Angeles?
Well, you know, no, it was an incredible evening. I had begun to suspect the same thing. This might be better than what everybody was thinking with all the delays and with the quiet on the promotional front, and people were starting to get a little worried. But, and a lot of people looking past it to Brian Fuller's new series. But there was some really good articles, and I think they just barely, they were so behind the eight ball on getting it done that they were just working on getting it done. But there'd been a lot of talk lately and a really good interview with Justin Lin about his roots and his indie beginnings and his dad sitting him down as a kid to watch Star Trek. And you know, this is in good hands and has a really good from the gut, from the heart feeling to be Star Trek. And the room that night, not just my sense, but the room that night, I think between the trailer and they showed about a 12-minute full scene that was both a very quiet scene with Kirk and McCoy, and then all hell breaks loose. And it's action, but it all feels like action with a point, which some people had a problem with the first couple of movies. And the room was just ecstatic. It was, people were really excited, and Paramount, if that was their aim, they got their wish.
And all good news, because the unveiling, of course, as well, of the Leonard Nimoy stage, or Leonard mm-hmm. Nimoy straight. So again, the line is there, so... Great stuff as far as that's concerned. Let's introduce you to the Midweek Drive team for today. We have Claire Margerrison. You've just seen the trailer, Claire. Are you looking forward to July 22nd?
I am. I feel like I'm going to have to catch up on all of the Star Trek ever, which I'm sure would take a lot longer than a month, but you know.
Only 800 TV episodes or thereabouts. And, sort of 12 movies or thereabouts. You can do it. That's the text as well. Mary Dancy.
I am so excited for this film. I'm like jumping up and down in my seat. It's really good.
And how does it feel to be speaking to somebody who was there last night?
I know.
So excited. If Nick's interested in terms of finding out what Larry looks like, just check out Star Trek, the magazine there. Claire will actually find the official Larry Nemechek page and we'll indicate that. But Nick, you're just sharing how you were impressed by speaking to Shane Rimmer, of course, the voice of Scott Tracy.
Yep.
In many ways, the British Mr. Spock, it could be said. What about Star Trek?
Yeah, I was always a bit of a fan of the original, and I quite like some of the films, so I may well check this out.
So, Jodie.
Yeah, well, I loved Star Trek when I was younger, and also The Next Generation. I just wanted to ask you, what is it about Star Trek that can just allows it to keep being retold in its such different forms?
Yes, Larry.
Oh, absolutely.
That was for you.
Yeah. Well, that's what's the genius of it, isn't it? Because it's about commenting on you know, it respects the audience, it respects the characters, and the fact that they've got to a place where humanity respects itself and didn't kill itself or the planet. And not only does that, but when it meets something new, embraces it or tries to always embrace it. You know, the infinite diversity, infinite combination. And then, you know, as the decades go by, whether they use Kirk, Spock, McCoy, or any of the, you know, Next Generation or Deep Space Nine or Voyager, that's the Roddenberry vision, is to take that and whoever is in charge of the new, whoever gets the keys to the new car and is in charge of each new iteration, that's their challenge, is to live up to Gene's format and apply it to something new. And I know Brian is excitedly doing that, and it seems like this team, maybe now with JJ gone off to do his Star Wars movies that he always wanted to do, maybe the rest of the people that Bad Robot have brought in are really, really hitting it on all cylinders with this movie. Even if it is an alternate universe, everybody that night, and I did, and everyone said, now this feels like Star Trek. The characters are all there. The moments, and there were moments of character moment that people loved, as well as action that made sense. And that, it looked gorgeous, of course.
That ultimately is one of the key things, because back when I wrote a film education booklet on Star Trek VI, The Next Generation, or the Undiscovered Country, I have to say, it was very much focusing on the character. It is the characters. I mean, we like Star Wars, we like the system from that point of view, but ultimately, Trek, when it is at its best, it does kind of develop that commentary on the human condition from characters that we can appreciate and relate to. I mean, Kat, from your own perspective, Star Trek, William Shatner...
Yeah, I love Star Trek. I mean, I grew up with Star Trek. I think everybody's grown up with Star Trek in one form or another, haven't they? And I think what you were saying there was really interesting, Alex, about the human condition. And I love the line in the film there, in the trailer that we just saw, about actually the fear of death is what keeps us alive. I thought that was so powerful, you know, and the fear of death is illogical, you know, so that alien versus, you know, human.
Cat, it is the unknown that defines our existence.
Absolutely.
It's Deep Space Nining there for a moment. You've got to forgive me. It's very important. Those par wraiths, they get in there in every shape and form. It's very strange. Claire.
Yeah, it's something that I would really like to get into, like I said. And I think that it has a way of, with kind of Marvel films, for example, becoming more popular and that sort of thing. I think that it is moving from something that has been relatively isolated from mainstream media and stereotyped to something that is being enjoyed by a more diverse range of people. And I think that's really, really great to see.
Looking for where it's actually being unveiled, a brave decision, which I think in many ways you think, yeah, that's good. It's going to go to the San Diego Comic-Con for its full unexpurgated unveiling. So that could be quite interesting for the first ever open-air IMAX world premiere will also be taking place, as well as a live concert performance of Michael Giacchino's film score by the San Diego Symphony Orchestra. So, again, culturally, it's kind of embedded itself into that whole system. One minor point, Larry, and I think I've raised this before, it does look as though, yet again, the Enterprise is blown to smithereens. Please, you know, stop blowing the ship up. You know, just stop blowing it up. You don't need to blow it up every time. Just had to let
that go. Okay, first off, it's not wasn't my decision.
Very true, Larry. Yeah.
No, I don't know. There's something about doing a movie. People think it's a big screen. They have to make these big moves. But I agree with you. Although in this case, when it's the alternate universe that we visit every 3 or 4 years, I'm not so emotionally attached to it. So
no, that's just true.
Whatever.
Look, there are those there are those of us who actually say, you know, that lovely, you know, love, you're better off without it, I'm better off without mine. This ship, she gives, she won't permit in my life. It's the naked time all over again. How can you go from that scenario and the pain of my God bones, what have I done, what you always did, turn death into a fighting chance for living, in the search for Spock, you know, just suddenly blowing it up every time. I blame Deanna Troi. Anyway, that's it.
Well, now you're crossing streams just a little bit.
I know. It's very true, Larry. And after last week's discourse that we actually had on alt universes in any way, shape or form, I mean, Jodie's still recovering, so...
It's not going to happen on that
sort of basis. Nick, rock music, and Captain Kirk liking the Beastie Boys. and other scenarios. What are your thoughts on this whole mixing of sort of genres and lines on that basis?
I didn't know he did, actually.
He does.
Did he?
Yeah. He names it James Tiberius Kirk.
Really?
Which, curiously enough, Tiberius named after one, of course, the most notorious Caligula-like empires of the Roman history. But then Kirk was always a bit of a womaniser. So it goes, although I'd still defend that point of view. Anyway, Nick. Sorry, I was talking about rock music and science fiction.
You went somewhere again.
We did a whole sequence this afternoon on his show, Sound and Nick's Vision, which focused on Ziggy Stardust, and it's almost as though he's completely lost the whole way. Carry on, Nick.
Well, I don't know that much about the characters or the new kind of remakes of the
They're the same characters. We still have Kirk, Spock and McCoy, just different actors.
I think they will always be the actors from the original series for me, to be honest.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but it's one of those things. There's some things that you.
Well, of course, if we look at the alternate universe, and Leonard Nimoy, before he passed away, was indeed in the first two incarnations as kind of the Spock Prime character. Sorry, Larry, I realise you are Dr. Trek and you should be addressing these key words. And correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm not saying that shouldn't be done.
Beastie Boys got a lot of attention there with the trailers, and of course it was in the first movie, but then there always was something about how the original series had lots of classical music and maybe some folk music in it, but you thought, well, didn't they invent any music in the next 300 years that people like to go back to? So as jarring as Beastie Boys is, there's times when I think, well, maybe they should let in a little bit more something modern.
Yeah, precisely, because, I mean, when all's said and done, if it hadn't been for the fabulous work of Alexander Courage and so on, you know, you wouldn't have had that. I mean, that's not Beastie Boys, that's Pon Farr. That's the whole thing where, the shirt is ripped, everything is taking place, and suddenly you're building up that whole sort of seven-year cycle. Sorry, it's just something clear. Oh, indeed, conceivably also Gamesters of Triskelion. Do you feel, Claire, I'm just getting into my Trek hat a little bit too much so far?
Sometimes. But, I mean, it's... We haven't just sat and watched an episode like we did in sci-fi that one time. So, we haven't got that far yet.
It was the apple.
It was brilliant.
I used it as an example of colonialism in science fiction, Larry, and dealing with colonies.
Oh, the apple.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. So it's thumbs up then to what certainly was the launch of the special 500, the chosen 500 for Star Trek Beyond, and it's looking good as far as that's concerned. We haven't had time to talk about the new series. Yes, Jodie, there is going to be a new TV series.
Wow.
Launching in CBS, January 2017. Very exciting, echoing from that perspective. Anything that sort of emerged from that, Larry, that you can share? Is it a case of we could share, but then, we can't. What's the line? Was it mentioned?
Well, you're sure about the movie trailer. Because, we had the TV sneak peek trailer came out last week as well. I called it the week of two trailers.
Yeah.
They were fighting for attention for a minute, yeah.
It was the best of trailers. It was the worst of trailers. Message now, Larry?
Yes.
None that I'm conscious of. Except
all the good lines, Alex. None intended, Alex.
Yeah. Splendid. We could actually bounce this sort of rhetoric back in terms of quoting episodes for quite some time, but we realise that people are wanting Quentin Wilson, they're wanting more sort of from Villeneuve en route somewhere between Arkansas and Tennessee. But yes, so in terms of that second, I mean, it's a very minimalist trailer, Larry. Those people who haven't, I haven't screened it in the studio today because it hasn't been time actually. But you can go online and actually find the series trailer. But it really just says it's coming. It's new adventures,
right.
New scenarios, and so on. Which brings us all.
Well, they have the. That's part of that. All the networks did all their upfront shows in New York. It's an annual thing where they're selling their new series. So it really wasn't a standalone event. It was part of that, and of course they didn't have anything really to show, but it got a lot of tongues wagging because of the plural new crews, and people were wondering, what that meant, if it was an anthology or whatever. So yeah, exciting times.
Well, I mean, we knew it would happen and will continue to actually manifest itself. Brought us around neatly to a couple of sort of final things. Do you have a favourite alien race from the Star Trek series? You've probably been asked this many a time, but I just thought, I've been an eye recently. I thought, the Cardassians are not as bad as they've been trained, really. And the Bajorans, they're all right. And obviously Klingons, Romulans, Andorians, and so on. But what's Larry Nemechek's, Dr. Trek, what's your own favourite particular aspect of alien cultures in the Trek universes?
Well, I'm always big on the underdogs and the ones that are not explored very much, so here's my favorite, the Tellarites.
Nice. pig face Tellarites, of course. I think we've
because they have been so unexplored. Yes, exactly. Yeah. With Andorians, the second. Andorians are close. But Andorians have had some time now, especially with Enterprise.
And, excuse me, Nick, this is going to be a very geek-based question. If we actually go back to, I think it's Omicron SETI 3, I think, the spores,
yes.
This side of paradise. Why is it that if you actually have that paradise there, and we know that they can even help grow McCoy's tonsils back, why don't they use it in medical terms to actually just take the people there, get them infected by spores, then make them angry, and they'll be healthy again?
How do we know they didn't?
Nice. So that's that's precisely the sort of the key sort of response.
Dr. McCoy gave me a pill to help me grow a new kidney.
Exactly. Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, and that's exactly a neat scenario there to work with. We had a brief look at the Star Trek new series trailer.
That is just enough tease, so I'm very excited.
Just enough tease. So it's win-win as we turn to Jodie Orton to put those last two questions to Larry Nemechek. Go, Jodie.
Larry, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I would say even a hyper-reasonably interesting time with you today.
And can we look forward to chatting with you again in the very near future?
Oh, count on it, count on it. Thank you all.
He has indeed become a regular midweek drivette in many ways, and you know, greater honour.
Sounds like it.
It's essential in so many ways. We'll see you out with this Alexander Courage, Bob Carlin scenario. Because I just felt it's time not to reach for the Batleth, but to you know, as those wonderful immortal words said, if both survive the Lirpa, combat will continue with the Arn Woon. Did I get the inflection right?
The air is the air.
The air is the air. What can be done? As we head into the 21st century, if there was a decision to be made regarding the patron saint of motorists, it would have to be the legend Quentin Wilson. In fact, we should say St. Quentin of the Highways in many ways. Quentin, welcome to the programme today.
Morning, you're making me sound like St. Christopher.
I think you are. I think you know, we need a contemporary sort of issue from that point of view. We won't get evangelical on this whole thing, but I know that you are particularly keen, and quite rightly so, on defending the rights of motorists and helping motorists across the base, not only with fuel, but with a whole range of other factors. But this recent survey that we're looking at, it would seem that the days of the Good Samaritan, keeping the biblical theme going, kind of have gone when it comes to road travel, transport, and stopping for people in cars who've had breakdowns and such like.
I'm on my hobby horse again, Alex. This is a survey that Nationwide Flex Plus have done with 2,000 people, so it's pretty accurate. And the staggering thing is that, first of all, three quarters of us have broken down, which I think is just crazy. Why aren't we servicing our cars properly? Why aren't we looking after them? And then 66% of motorists would never stop to help someone. And I just think, oh, you know, what's going wrong? So you've got this issue of all these cars breaking down, blocking the roads. We hear about them in the morning on Sally traffic. But then people will not stop to help people. So Nationwide also did this secret filming in a lay-by in Orpington in Kent on the bypass. Really busy road. They had a male and a female actor with this broken-down car, hidden cameras. And it took 1 hour and 9 minutes for the first motorist to stop, and that was for the woman. And the bloke nobody ever stopped for him. So I think it's a really interesting view at society's attitude to people who have broken down.
Anybody who's ever seen the movie The Hitchhiker or The Hitcher and so on might sort of have a feeling that actually you can't. There could be unsavoury, there could be good reasons for not stopping. I mean, part of the rationale, as you rightly said, of course, is really if you're preparing for a journey, you need to almost say it's back to the days of when carriages used to take you from one part of the country to the other, and you had to beware of highwaymen and obviously take precautions. Presumably a mobile phone is essential, and also perhaps joining a reputable agency like the RAC, AA, or indeed Green Flag or others.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. I mean, the other amazing things about this, 1 in 6 didn't have breakdown cover. 5% had to call for help on their mobile phone, and 20% had no life on their mobile phone at all, and 40% didn't have a phone at all in the car. So, I mean, you cannot enter onto the strategic road network without these simple precautions. And if you want to find out what you need to do if you break down, we've done this video at nationwide.co.uk/breakdown. All the hints and tips are there. But, you know, please don't break down, and please get breakdown cover.
For somebody like myself, who usually clocks out about 26,000 miles travelling up from Lincoln to Teesside and back again and all sorts of other areas, clearly checking your water, checking your oil, yep, as you rightly said, making sure that you do ensure your tyres and everything else are sorted through. Those are kind
and
of
And I bet you've never broken down, Alex.
Well, yes, I have, actually. But fortunately, I've had the mobile phone charged and been able to actually sort of call the necessary help accordingly. So
it wasn't a drama.
Oh, indeed. But it is a case of being prepared and working through that process. Is that the key thing we'd like to take from this nationwide survey, that rather like the Boy Scouts, we should be prepared when we take charge of that horseless carriage?
And it's not just for us, it's for the passengers in the car, and it's for the rest of the road users. You sit in these queues of thousands and thousands of car, and there's a Fiesta with its bonnet up and steam coming out of it. And, you know, it's just needless. So for everybody, for yourself, for your passengers, and to get to work on time, just get the car serviced. Check it. The big problem here, Alex, is as a nation, I think we're becoming really de-skilled when it comes to cars, treating them like washing machines and tumble dryers, just getting in, going, and then when that funny little orange light on the dashboard winks that says oil, you think, oh, that's the time to put the oil in. No, that says that your engine is a ruin because you haven't topped the oil up. So we need to just get a bit better at this.
We're going shortly over to America to actually deal with one of our ACE directors who's currently driving across America. We'll be somewhere in Arkansas or Tennessee, I believe. I'm sure they'll be checking his oil. But Quentin, we started off by saying you are the patron saint of motorists, etc., as well as ACE motoring expert, etc. Keep flying the flag for vehicles and so on. Have you had a reasonably interesting and hopefully trouble-free telephonic link with us on the show today?
It's been a pleasure, Alex.
We look forward to speaking again. Quentin Wilson, award-winning consultant with respect to motoring journalism and indeed a whole ace of TV presenters and campaigners. And yes, I say again, patron saint of the motorist. We salute you. Take care now. So the big question clearly is, Phil Learness, have you checked your oil? Is it all going well in your automobile trip at present?
The professor, which is how the car we drive prefers to be referred to, the professor has been holding up like a champ. I mean, we've driven several thousand miles in the last few days. There was a little bit of a harrowing experience where a broken table on the freeway, because where else would you put a broken table, could not be entirely avoided. And so drove over part of it. It made a rather loud sound. There was a little bit of leaking fluid, but all is well in the end.
Well, don't worry, Phil, because through Larry Nemechek and the recent unveiling of the Leonard Nimoy stage, we've had a word with your compatriot Justin Lin, and he said he wants to make a movie of indeed your encounter with that table in the road. So I think he's calling it gone in 50 seconds or 60 seconds or that point of view. So it's all good. Nice to see
you. Fast and Furious 19.
Exactly. This is very true. Exactly. When you get a chance, have a listen to the podcast. I think you'll find that Larry, like myself, is breathing a little bit easier now, a little bit more easier with the release of the week of two trailers for Star Trek, but I'm sure Chilpak Hollywood will have that covered as well. Okay, right, let's do the lineups. In the studio, a fabulous five collection of individuals who have just been keenly awaiting the time to speak to yourself, Phil, and, of course, the lovely Lily Holliman, who answered the phone first because it was her number that you actually gave me to call. You said, please call me on my mobile, so we did. Don't call this one, she says. You should be calling on Phil's number. We called again. It was the number for the
Yeah, we arranged the driving duties so that she could handle driving so that I could handle the
media.
Being witty and charming on UK radio.
Exactly. Critical. Anyway, as well as Mary Dancy and Claire Margerison, we have, yes, she came back for a second week just for you, Phil, Jodie Orton.
Hi, Phil.
Oh, Jody. Hi, actually.
It's been such a long time.
I once took an unexpectedly long road trip with Jody on a public bus.
Really? Which you like to share that unexpectedly long road trip? I mean, has it got movie potential? We've gone through the Cannes Film Festival. Ken Loach has won, so you know what? Can we work on this one, Phil?
I'm remembering correctly, aren't I, Jodie?
You are remembering correctly. Yes, for some reason it disappeared from my memory, but now, yeah.
It's like therapy, Jodie. Just like, go with it. Go with it. Relax.
We had met on the bluffs near the Santa Monica Promenade, overlooking the Santa Monica Pier, to have a conversation, and then she was heading back to downtown Los Angeles, and so I decided to hop on the bus that she would need to get there. And wow, I mean, even someone used to the Los Angeles traffic, I wasn't used to it. Oh, what should have been, you know, a half-hour drive, I think it was 3 hours.
It was a long trip, wasn't it? But there's nobody that I'd rather be stuck on a bus with.
Oh, you see, that's what you call the casting director of the Midweek Drive. You see, get these folk together, still works. Jeez.
Well, when I get around to writing my memoirs, that is a quote that's going on the back jacket cover.
See, the magic is there. And also returning, probably just to speak to you, Phil, although, you know, they claimed it was to do a couple of episodes of Sound and Next Vision and develop all sorts of things, we have ace photographer. He's been to Nashville, but not to Los Angeles. Nick Elliott.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing?
The great Nick Elliott. I'm doing great. I was so excited. So excited to hear that you were going to be on the show, and hoping that Alex has shown you my latest Facebook, Instagram photo of me at Cadillac Ranch spray painting a car that's buried in the earth. It's very Mad Max, and I think it's rock star quality.
I saw you standing on one, Phil. I didn't see you actually spraying one, if that's what you was doing, but I saw the one where you were standing on one, which looked pretty mean.
Good. I mean, am I up to the rock star quality?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You were there before you stood on the car.
He was there before he stood on
the
car.
Props, man. You don't need the props.
No.
Okay. Suddenly Nick's quote is bumping Jody's quote on the back.
But we might raise it even further when you've got public relations guru Kat on the case. Kat, any thoughts for Phil?
Well, I'm really interested in that picture there. I mean, look at that car. Where on earth did you find that?
So this, you know, you can talk to experts about car culture, the young Quentin there, but this is some car culture. It's very Mad Max Fury Road, isn't it? There's an art installation outside Amarillo, Texas, that is of some renown, called the Cadillac Ranch, and it is this long string of Cadillac cars that are buried vertically in the earth. And you come and you spray paint and decorate them to your heart's content. But what we discovered, which was equally exciting, and the photos are soon to follow, is an art installation that I think very few people know about. It's on the other side of Amarillo, Texas, and it's a VW Beetle graveyard, much like that. And we took some cool photos there. But just art installations in the middle of, well, not middle of nowhere, because I guess Amarillo, Texas is a pretty big city. So let's call it on the outskirts of nowhere, these art
installations. Is this the way to Amarillo?
Indeed.
Best not go there. I mean, I do have, I mean, this is going to be a tough call, actually, for the musical little segue here, because lined up we have Bob Dylan with Highway 51. Okay. But also lined up, we have AC/DC and Highway to Hell.
So I'll go with Go with Nelson Eddy's theme from Route 66.
Tragedy, that's not on the debate. It's not on the agenda. I suspect from the studio response, it's AC/DC.
You're outvoted, Phil. AC/DC.
Stay with us, Phil. I know that there might be people out there who will be challenged when it comes to vowels and think it's actually a journey to a North Yorkshire city called Hull. But no, it's all right. Although many people have actually said the two terms are interchangeable, and the famous phrase, of course, Hull, Hell, and Halifax, all places which have yet to be visited by Phil Leonis. He's done Lincoln, hasn't done Hull, Hell, or Halifax. He might be doing Hell. So we're looking through Phil Leonis at the South Rim Trail of the Grand Canyon, his first ever trip to the Grand Canyon. We've then got Phil and Lily Hollymon, of course, at the Ice Caves and Bandera Volcano. We've then moved on to the David Lynch production of the Grand Canyon National Park, and of course the classic, as Tucker Smallwood would say, Blue Swallow Motel with 100% refrigerated air. It's a wonderful soundtrack to actually have, you know, AC/DC in the background. Does that bring to mind your own experience in the States, Jodie, when you did a bit of a road trip as well?
It does, yeah. Me and the girls had some great music. Lots AC/DC? Of 80s. No AC/DC. We had some Bryan Adams, a bit of Johnny Cash.
Very good.
Lots of other cool music.
What did you think of the quality of photography, Nick?
Of Phil's stuff? Mm. Well, I follow him quite intensely, actually, with pretty much everything he does. And I keep up with his Facebook stuff. Good. I love it.
Looking good, Phil Leonis. Looking very good, particularly the Grand Canyon. Remember, of course, there's a meteorite strike, which did for the dinosaurs. I hope they were remembered. And the other question I have to ask before I open it up for Claire and Kat and Mary, Phil, is the Volkswagen graveyard. Was there a tribute to Herbie?
Not that I know of, but, you know, the previous vehicle that Will and Phil would drive before the professor was a VW Beetle known as the Scientist. So there was a tribute to the Scientist there. Hey, by the way, nothing says happy 75th birthday to Bob Dylan like choosing AC/DC.
I did sort of suggest it would be worthwhile, but I'm sorry, Mr. Zimmerman. Never mind. We'll do Math Peace Poets next week. I'm sure we can squeeze some Bob Dylan in there. The jury spoke. You know, and it could have been worse. We could have actually gone down a Nick Elliott viewpoint of one of the top young bands in Britain. Oh, it was harsh. Ooh. Never mind. Right, Claire, thoughts for yourself?
My best friend from home actually is just graduating university, and her friends are actually going on a road trip across America. So do you have any tips for them?
I'm not going to lie. I just got asked another question off air and didn't hear the full question. So your friends are graduating from university, and I'm guessing you were saying they're taking a road trip across America?
That was a yes, Phil. It's all right. I was asked by another question. I think it was, can you promote the next show? It's all right. It's Ryan coming back into the town together with the delightful Katie Dorr, who's going to be sort of extreme. Yes. Sorry,
I'm totally confused. What am I supposed to be
with the Mohican on? Oh, that's extraordinary. It's a very dramatic Mohican, I think we'll say. Very good. Sorry, yes, back to the question then.
Yeah, my friends are taking a road trip across America. Yeah.
Oh, well, I would... my advice would be to read about... Route 66 has been a major road, America's main street. And the final city that was bypassed in 1984. But there are little pockets of it that are preserved. Some, like where we stayed in Tucumcari, the Blue Swallow, are being restored. Others are completely derelict, and it's fascinating. But in addition to Route 66, there are so many of these forgotten highways, and most of them lead through smaller towns that at a time when the population continues to explode globally, but also here in the U.S., especially in urban centers, what we're seeing in small towns is that the populations are dwindling. And so these are fascinating areas to visit. So, you know, especially if they're going to be going near major cities, research what older highways have at least sections that still exist, because that will take them to some of the coolest stuff, not just the kitschy stuff, which we're drawn to, but also the natural wonders. This Route 66 tour took us very near not only Flintstone, Bedrock, the home of Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, but sorry, I couldn't resist that.
But, of course, the Grand Canyon, but also these ancient ice caves and volcanoes. It's incredible. traveling this way. So that's what I would urge, is as much as possible, stay off the major interstates, because the more you're on the major interstates in the U.S., the more every place looks like every other place.
And Phil, as you rightly said, Robert Alan Zimmerman, born May 24th, 1941, deserves at least a smidgen of...
Highway 51 runs right by my baby's door. Highway 51 runs right by my baby's door. I don't get the gal I'm loving. Walk down Highway 51 no more.
And those are the kind of magical words that actually says it all, really. You know, if you don't get the girl you're loving, you're not going to go down Highway 51 no more. Thank you, Bob Dylan. We'll be more about that later. Besides, it was yesterday, technically, but I suppose we were in Hawaii. Kat, questions for the Lehrmeister from yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that you were very close there to the Grand Canyon. I think that's one place that I would really go to. What was the highlight then for you on that trip? Because it sounds like you had some amazing experiences.
He's still traveling, you know.
We're
still traveling. Right now, we're on our way from Little Rock, Arkansas, into Memphis, Tennessee. It was an amazing experience yesterday. We woke up at 8,000 feet elevation in dry heat, 100 degrees, and completely dry. Woke up this morning in the lowlands. Little Rock is in the south, and it was cool, but with 100% humidity. So it's just amazing how dramatically, in just one day of driving, the terrain in this country can change. So that's a highlight. But for me, honestly, I found myself telling this wonderful man, Kevin, who runs with his wife, Nancy, the Blue Swallow Motel in Tucumcari, telling them that we've seen these incredible natural wonders and these ancient mysteries and these delightful, kind of kitschy, landmarks of Americana. But our highlight was getting to talk to him. Our highlight has been some of the kindest, most hospitable people we've ever met, most places. So that's really the highlight of going off the main thoroughfare and exploring some of the back roads, is the people that you get to meet. And I would also throw into that a young couple that we met who are in the midst of a road trip. Now, this is a road trip. In their van, they are in the midst of a trip from Argentina to Alaska. Now, that is a road trip, and it has taken 2 years to get this far, and they expect it to take another year before they are in Alaska, because they are taking their time and seeing as much as they can.
Yeah,
well, don't be.
Too,
just
yeah.
Rely. I mean, remember, the Earth is spinning around at a phenomenal rate. We've already moved several sort of 1,000 miles just in the course of this very show alone. Do we need a thought for the universe? No, we do need some Chuck Berry.
Long distance information, give me Memphis, Tennessee. Help me find the party, try to get in touch with me. She could not leave her number, but I know. My uncle took the message and he wrote it on the wall. Help me, information, get in touch with my Marie. She's the only one who'd phone me here from Memphis, Tennessee. Her home is on the south side, high up on a ridge, just a half a mile from the Mississippi.
I trust you appreciate, Phil, the kind of soundtrack to your travels we're providing today. Because, you know, much more musical inserts, just getting a flavour for... I mean, we could have had Mott the Hoople all the way from Memphis, but then we thought, no, British band, let's do it. Could have had Cher walking in Memphis. Nice sort of romantic there. And now we're sort of following the whole thing through. And have you got a sense for America being great again, Phil?
Well, we're doing our part.
clearly to make it great again. And you know, I did my part also. If you'll notice, if I can plug my Facebook page again, my profile picture is a delightful photo of Donald Trump hanging out with O.J. Simpson, and I loved using it because you know, there were headlines about how Hillary Clinton promised that if she's elected president, she's going to open the government's UFO files. So I want Donald Trump to promise, given my profile picture of his companionship with O.J. Simpson, if Donald Trump is elected, I want Donald Trump to dedicate his presidency to finding the real killers. So
it could be worthwhile voting Republican just for that. What have I just said? It's all right. I don't have a vote. I'm not American. So there we are.
There are most people would argue, even the people who are voting for Trump, especially the people who are voting for Trump. In fact, maybe exclusively the people who are voting for Trump, who would argue that that is not voting Republican. Republicans do not consider Donald Trump much of a Republican.
And thereby hang so many tales, we just don't want to actually go there. Mary Dempsey.
So is the road trip, is the idea kind of like just drive along and see what takes your fancy, or do you have any kind of like locations specifically that you do want to check out?
Well, I always travel best this way when there are certain specific events locked into place. In this case, there's a family reunion, there's a wedding that we're attending, and then you plan the most interesting route to those events. And, yeah, maybe you plan, like we planned the Grand Canyon because that was somewhere neither of us had ever been. That was bucket list. On our way back, we're going to visit Canyon de Chelly, which is my single favorite spot I've ever visited on the planet. This incredible
is it the sort of place Phil you might like to finally propose to Lily Holloman to, or is that too personal a question? I'll throw it in there.
So back to the question. what is best is, you know, you have these certain things set in schedule, and then you find a route, and then you just stay open to that looks cool, what is that, or that looks terrifying, we have to check it out.
It's wondrous. It's wondrous. Notice the way he avoided the matrimonial question there. I did my best, you know. But who knows? It's such a wonderful romantic movie, though. I can see it's just wonderful.
At this age, I so often have to ignore questions that interrupt the question on the table, or I won't ever get an answer out.
I know. It's all right. Let it go, as they say in Frozen. Nick, do we have any listeners in Norwich today? Because normally when you do a midweek drive, they say you'd like to do a little shout-out to our Norwich people.
Yeah, I think we probably will for Barry and Jackie Hooks there in Norfolk, Norwich.
Message for you, Barry and Jackie. The show Midweek Drive goes on weekly. You don't have to wait until Nick and Kat are on the show, even though you are special friends, not in a kind of patronising sense.
Ask Phil a question. This road trip, Phil, are you driving, I take it, in a car?
Yeah, the professor.
Yes.
Oh, right, okay. I didn't know that. Right, okay. That was going to be the question, whether it was a period car or whether it was just, you know, a modern-day car, or whether he was actually, you know, living the dream.
He does all three simultaneously. It's great.
Yeah, those are not mutually exclusive in any way.
Nicely so. And finally, Nick, because it's been such a joy to have you, not for one, not for four English hours of your company today. That's two, count them, two Sound and Nick's Vision shows, one of which goes out tomorrow evening, live across the globe at 7:02 p.m. UK time, which, of course, in Pacific Standard Time would be around about 11 a.m. in the morning, actually 7:02 a.m. And even earlier, even later, where Phil will be by then. Would you like to mention your clothing range once again, please?
Oh, yeah. The new apparel range that I've launched, which is Nick Elliott UK Tour under that brand, in support of the closure of small music venues
here
in the UK.
Keep Music Live was the official stuff working through there. People can contact you, Nick, through your website, which is
nickelliott.info.
That's it then. On a show which has taken us from Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis in Jersey, William Coles from Edinburgh, and a bit of religious controversy as well, possibly. We certainly talked about divinities and various other factors. Shane and Sheila Rimmer, bless them. Larry Nemechek and Quentin Wilson. And very briefly, Lily Holloman. Don't turn now, Lily. Turn now. Sorry. And Phil Leonis. thank you. In the studio, thanks to Nick, Elliot, Kat, Jodie Orton, Mary Dancy and Claire Margeris. And last two questions for Phil, please. Claire.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
It has been the highlight of the road trip.
Aww.
I always
better
felt
than the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the Midweek Drive is better than the Grand Canyon.
And will you be joining us again next week?
I will be filing my report from somewhere in between Dallas and Roswell, New Mexico.
Watch out for the grassy knoll. That's all I say. Watch out for the grassy knoll.
There's no grassy knoll in Roswell, New Mexico.
But you might have a couple of Ferengi there. I just put that for our Star Trek fans. It's there. Okay, coming up next, we've got the news. And then we've got Ryan and a fantastic show with Katie and a whole heap of other goodies. Kat, have you enjoyed your Midweek Drive?
Oh, it's been stupendous.
Marvellous. Nick?
Marvellous fun.
Jodie?
Great fun.
Derby, of course, coming up shortly for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mary?
As always, been very brilliant.
And I'm sure you return sometime in the near future.
Yeah, of course.
And Claire?
Yeah, it's been good.
We've got tomorrow morning, of course.
Yes.
There we are. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.